We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So much drama in the DMB. J to the single P. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, 30 minutes, major show announcement. Buckle up for that. B. Mitch is out playing golf, raising money for a great cause. You want to see him head out to Lakewood Country Club. And in case there's lawyers listening, I don't know if you can actually just roll up. So, I don't know. Maybe just wait outside. Right now, though, I'm fired up to talk with our guy, Mr. Chris Miles, on the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. Chris, what's up, dude? How are you, buddy?
Man, so B. Mitch is at a country club and you're not there. I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it.
That is accurate. Now, that doesn't mean I might not be there later, but as currently constituted, I am in the, you know, this prison cell studio quite well from when you were still in town. I am sitting here on a beautiful sunny day, and B is out there. Over under, it's high noon in the district. How many cocktails for Brian as of right now?
3.5
Okay.
3.5
I think that's right at the pace. I think he's right around 3. So I'm with you. How's your golf game, dude? How's life in the ATL?
Well, I'll tell you this. I got a golf coach, and he saw me out there taking hacks with Chuck, and he's like, stay away from him. Stay away. You know, everybody knows Charles Barkley's golf swing, infamous, but Chuck's always trying to give me advice. Just like B. Mitch is with us, right? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this particular advice. He's trying to get me to switch my wrist. And I'm like, what? I can't hit a golf ball like that. And then I did my own thing, you know,
good.
Driving the thing.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Let's start with the finals, because obviously that's the biggest thing going on in the NBA right now. Miami will not go away. I thought the fourth quarter they put together last night was just incredible and shows the heart that team has. I thought Spoelstra going to Kevin Love was really, really interesting and worked out. What do you make of this Heat team?
Well, I'm conflicted here, JP, because I keep thinking they're down, they're out. Like the first round against Milwaukee, I'm like, oh, they'll be done in 3 games. They don't even need 4 games. Let's go back, old school, 3 games. And they beat my man Giannis and the Bucks, right? And against the Knicks, I kind of thought they'd win that. I thought that was a toss-up of a series. I was like, oh, it's the Celtics. They're going to get just destroyed. Nope. They jump up 3-0, and then I'm like, all right, the Celtics still got this once they won a game. I was like, we're about to see history. And then they annihilate them in a game 7. So I guess my point is, here I am thinking the Nuggets are going to sweep them again, and they win game 2 on the road, and it seems like it's going to be a dogfight yet again. You know, only thing I could point to is Eric Spoelstra. And every time we break down the film, and we really look at, okay, what's going on? It's just coaching. I mean, the adjustments he makes with these guys, these undrafted players who are essentially one-dimensional, and that's not to knock them. I'm saying on an NBA level, either they can just shoot or they can defend, right? He makes sure that they execute to the best of their ability and that they make adjustments so that those guys do that, man. And it's just, it's marvelous to watch.
It really is, man. And it's... It's just crazy to think that heat culture, whatever you want to call it, I think they just have so much momentum going now that it keeps happening. I still think the Nuggets win this series. I thought the Nuggets were going to win it in five, so I guess that prediction's still available. But I don't know. Now they're going back to Miami. Would you be stunned if this thing's 2-1 before the end of the week?
So what I actually saw in game two, I think that going back to Denver, I think it'll be 2-2. And the reason I say that is, let's say Denver wins game three. I think Miami's going to make the necessary adjustments. Also, they're supposed to get Tyler Hero back. Now, I don't think Tyler Hero is like game-changing player, but what it does is it gives you another guy who can handle the ball, create shots for other people, and is this like Denver's like, oh, what do we do now, right? There's going to be an adjustment to that at some point. So just like inserting Kevin Love into the starting lineup, gave them a bit more size. I think Tyler Hero will give them a bit more offense, where they've absolutely struggled the last 7 or 8 games, right? So, man, I do think that this series, I imagine it's going to go 6 because of those factors.
What do you think of Joker's game? How do you just – I mean, well enough that you have been – and now, correctly, obsessed with Giannis for a long time. What do you think of Joker?
When we're done, I'm going to send you a tweet from 2017, 2018. Okay. It also popped up on my Instagram memories, right? And we were saying in 2018, you know, like on our deep dive in the basketball shows, that this is a top three duo in the NBA. We were saying that back then.
Him and Murray?
Were like, you put, yeah. And okay. People were like, what? This is before the bubble. This is before they had, you know, won all these games. And I still remember Candace Parker on the show saying, oh, this is, he's going to be an MVP. And people went after her, right? My point is, the way Nikola Jokic plays basketball is truly the way that I see basketball should be played. Like, Giannis is this dominating. It's like, you know, Giannis is kind of like if you had a running back that was 250 pounds of straight muscle running through people real fast. You're like, oh, this is incredible. Whereas,
like Adrian Peterson,
Joker,
or something.
Yeah, like Adrian Peterson, but bigger, right? Yeah, like the advantage Joker has. Yeah, exactly like that. AP is huge. What I'm kind of saying is, like, Joker is like Pat Mahomes, right? Where you're like, what? How did he do that? It's this, like, skill set, and then he shows you a little athleticism, and you're almost like, oh, yeah, he can do that too. Oh, man, and just watching it year after year, game after
game. Did we lose Chris?
They were down. I think they were down 8. And he just, like, tossed it out, and they hit another 3. And I was like, you know, most big men will go right back up. But he understood time and score. He didn't think about it for a second. That pass was out of his hands because he knew as soon as he touched that ball where he was going with it. It's Larry Bird-esque, right? I'm not the first person to say that, but that's truly the way he plays, is like Bird with more passing, right? That's, like, kind of his game. And it's, we're witnessing greatness, and I really think that's why they're going to win a championship.
It is interesting. The Bird comp might be the best, and I hate that we can only comp white dudes with white dudes, because I think there's kind of some magic in there too, like just how big he is, but he can kind of run the break. Obviously, he's not the ball handler and the point guard that Magic was, and maybe that's what makes Bird the better comp, but I saw this over the weekend. I can't remember who put it out. I'd like to credit him. But remember Arvydas Sabonis when he was with the Blazers? And he was on the downside of his career. But his passing ability, I feel like there's some of that. I don't know, man. Joker and Murray are both so good, so, so good. And yet they lost at home to the Heat last night, even with the altitude and everything else. We just don't – like. This happens. I was thinking about this because I think there's a lot of comps between Jacoby Brissett, who's, you know, the new probably number two quarterback here in D.C., and Alex Smith. And one major difference why Brissett probably never got to play through some ugly portions of his career, and Alex, is Alex was a 1-1 pick. First overall pick, right? Coming out of Utah. Brissett, I think, was a third or a fourth rounder. And the perceptions of those guys are just so different because of draft status. And I think my boy J-Rock and I were texting about the Heat. At some point, we don't allow ourselves to buy into the Heat because these guys are undrafted and you don't remember them from college and whatever else it is. But we're now through two games of the NBA Finals. Their guys are clearly as good as some of the Nuggets guys. They can compete. This is real.
Well, there's like 10 things there, right? So I'm trying to figure out the first part to address is the undrafted guys, right? And I know you know this about me. I call Summer League games and I call G League games as well, right? What I see are the Max Strus's, the Duncan Robinsons, the Gabe Vincents of the world. I see them firsthand for about, you know, 2 weeks of the year every year. And what people don't realize is that the NBA really, if they decided to expand with two more teams, there's enough talent to do so, right? So even now, when we say undrafted guys, there's only two rounds in the NBA draft. These are guys who have the talent and the ability. I mean, it used to be like seven rounds back in the day, right? These are guys with talent and ability but lack a certain thing. So what makes the Miami Heat so dangerous is they say, okay, so Max Strus, you can shoot the ball at an elite level, but your ball handling is suspect. We're going to work on that with you. Same thing with Duncan Robinson. Now these guys can at least put it on the floor when they're in trouble, right? And that's how they get better. So if you watch them year over year, every guy gets better. I mean, you don't even know who Omer Yurtseven is, but he's a Georgetown guy.
I remember him.
Yeah. Dude, I'm trying to tell you, in a year from now, he could be that guy that we're talking about. Like, if Bam Adebayo was hurt, we'd be talking about Omer Yurtseven. I've watched him play in the G League. I talked to him during Summer League. And I'm like, this guy, the way that they've developed him, could be an all-star, but he's not playing because Bam is healthy. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They always have that guy in waiting. It's almost like when you're saying, you know, the Washington football team quarterbacks. It's like, imagine if they just always had a Kirk Cousins. Like, just always had a guy ready to go when given the opportunity, he could prove himself. That's the Miami Heat. Now, the other point I want to get to you made about Nikola Jokic, and I just want people to really understand what we're witnessing. He's more triple-doubles than Wilt Chamberlain, right? The most ever by a center. And when you made the Magic comp, it's not off when he does this. When he grabs the rebound, he is absolutely just as dangerous as Magic Johnson in his prime because of how he can create shots for others. All other centers have to, like, pass the ball or kind of think about it for a second.
Right.
No, he's truly a point center. And Arvydas Sabonis, as great as he was, we have never seen a center that truly controls the game like a point guard. Like, we've seen really great passing big men, you know, whether it's Chris Webber or Arvydas Sabonis, but we've never seen a center that is really the point of the team.
Talking with our friend Chris Miles from NBA TV. You can give him a follow at Chris Miles TV. Shifting from elite basketball going on in the NBA Finals to local basketball here with the Wizards. You and I have talked about this over the years, and you've been fairly and correctly critical of the Wiz organization for some decisions about trying to just keep a nucleus together that I'm not sure was ever that good in the first place. They're finally making some big moves, bringing people in from outside of the organization. I believe there's real excitement about Michael Winger. What can you tell us about the hires the Wiz have made and trying to rebuild or retool this thing in the correct way?
Well, all right. So I've heard about Winger, but I don't know as much as I know about Travis Schlenk, right?
Okay. Well, so, I want to do both of them, so whatever order you want to talk.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Winger's a little higher up, and I don't know people that know him directly, so it's kind of like I know as much as most other people do, right?
But, dude, is now, he a lawyer, or is he going to come in and, like, run the team?
No, he's going to be, you know, essentially in basketball what happens is, like, you see David Griffin in New Orleans, right? Then you have the general manager. And so, like, really the basketball ops person at that level, the general manager reports to them, right? And they handle all other things, the business side of it. So really, Travis Schlenk is the guy when you're trying to think of us having basketball discussions. Mm-hmm. There's already people in place that I don't really want to say their names in the sense of, like, I don't know if they're comfortable with that, but I think you know who they are, I know who they are, right, that are within the organization that are also making decisions now, including these hires. Now, let's get to Travis Schlenk, right, because of how important he is. I think his ability to draft is what makes him so special. Because here's a guy that is, you know, I don't know if you want to say responsible, but been a part of drafting Draymond Green, for making the Trae Young move as far as getting more assets, for John Collins, Onyeka Okongwu, like Kevin Huerter out of Maryland. All the guys that he's drafted essentially have worked out. They've become very good, if not exceeding expectations, NBA type of players. So for the Wizards, that's a place where they've kind of struggled, right? Where guys come in and you're like, I guess he's not as good as we thought. And then they move on, right? I think the key to bringing him in is his draft evaluation. That's been his thing. And that the Wizards would theoretically start to nail that a little bit more.
So what does this do for the Wiz? What happens next? You're telling me they got a new boss lawyer who's overseeing everything, the Go-Go, the Mystics. And now they've got a new talent evaluator, draft guy in Schlenk. Are they still, is there still a GM coming in between those two?
Yeah.
Is it, is the order a little odd to hire the draft guy before the GM?
Well, the draft is coming up. Right. So you need to do your evaluating.
Oh, is this guy going to be in charge of this draft in like 3 weeks?
Well, he's already been paying attention to the prospects.
That's true.
So here's what you have to understand, JP, right? And I want to make this very clear. You know, I was on a beat for the NFL, right? So what happens with the NFL draft? We go to the Senior Bowl, guys watch film. Like maybe you know a couple of things about a guy, but the evaluating really is like after the season ends, right? No. The NBA, let me explain something to you. I am personally evaluating talent for the draft of like 2026. I'm going to watch the kids play. I see the scouts and general managers. Like if you see my post at the Nike Hoop Summit, that's like, you know, guys who are going to be drafted in 3 years from now. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's really where the evaluating happens. By the time we get here, you're just making sure that kids aren't making mistakes. You know who you want. You've evaluated the talent. So basketball talent is very different in that way because you got to find the elite of the elite, right? Like that's what you're looking for. So anyway, having said that, this draft, as far as the talent evaluation, is pretty much set. It's just you've got to get a guy who knows these guys. That's why you saw Mike Schmitz from ESPN get hired, right? Because he's done the evaluating for guys for the next 5 to 10 years. So he's a perfect fit. So I, to answer your question, like, yeah, it's perfectly fine to bring him in now because he knows the board.
Gotcha.
Right? So once you address the needs, oh, here's the right fit.
Last one. I find this kind of stuff just fascinating with the NBA. We're talking with our friend Chris Miles. Give him a follow at Chris Miles TV. There, I've read this. Expansion seems like it's coming to the NBA, and it sure seems like everybody's talking about Vegas and Seattle for two new teams. Do you see it going down like that? When would that happen? And then if that happens, to kind of even out the numbers, would they have to move? Would Memphis make sense to go to the Eastern Conference? Like, how would you make it all work?
Well, Memphis should be in the Eastern Conference. So they have to expand west. I think what's taken so long personally is they wanted to do Mexico City, and then you realize how far Mexico City is and the travel and the logistics, and then COVID happened. I think if we didn't have COVID, I think Mexico City would have been on the board, and I think it would have been a really interesting situation. I think the NBA wanted to do that.
I didn't know that at all.
I'm giving you the inside basketball here, my friend.
That's why we want you on here.
No, but I've asked Adam Silver directly about this, and he's really gone down that road. If you go look at the sheer number of the fans there, it would surprise you. And then you get an entire country, right? Like, that's kind of where they've been looking at it. Now, what I think realistically is going to happen, I mean, I go to Las Vegas like 4 times a year for something related to the NBA.
Right, Summer League.
Summer League, the Aces, and G League Showcase, they have put in the grassroots there that it just is like, so when is the NBA team coming? Right? The arenas are built, the structure is there.
I've read in Vegas they want to build a new building. Why wouldn't they just play where the Knights play?
I'm just telling you, all the things that are happening, right? Yeah. Like, you're right. It's just all in place. Now, the other thing is, you know, and I don't mean this in the mean-spirited way. The history in Seattle is great. The city's not doing so well. And I think that's held up a little bit, right? If you really look at what's happened in Seattle as far as when you look to put a professional franchise somewhere, it's more than just the sports. It's the, okay, is there population growth there? Is there financial growth? So you kind of want to stay away from cities that seem like they're in any sort of decline. Hmm. And I'm not trying to be, you know,
that's
off
it.
Base here.
You're shedding all kind of knowledge here. What's going on in Seattle?
You know, I'm going to leave it at what it is. But just look at the issues with their crime, their economics, some real issues out there. So I'm not speaking for the league. I think if those issues weren't in place, and if we didn't have COVID, you probably would have seen a team in Mexico City, Las Vegas, Seattle, like two of the three. And I think they're trying to work through it. Because this is a very big thing for expansion, right? And it didn't work in Vancouver, even though every player that ever played in Vancouver says, man, that was my favorite place to play. I'm like, what? Yeah, Steve Francis was tripping. That's what I heard, right?
So, I mean, you talk to the hockey guys about Vancouver, and it's the greatest city in the world.
I've talked to guys who have played in every – like, I mean, guys who set records for most teams played on. Tony Massenburg. I'll just say one of the names.
Right.
Our man, Tony Massenburg, is like, man, Vancouver and Barcelona, Spain. I'm like, you won rings with the Spurs, man. Hey, man, I'm trying to tell you, those two best places to play, man. That's how they talk about it. And it's not like one guy.
That's fascinating. I find this stuff so interesting. One more for you, because this is kind of unfolding in front of our eyes with baseball right now. I think the Padres actually got their money pulled. You know, locally, I think maybe Leonsis was ahead of the curve by taking control of his own media rights and stuff. But you're seeing real trouble with some of these regional sports outlets. And I don't think, like, the Lakers have to worry about it, but like the Pelicans or something, is the league at all alarmed by what is happening in baseball and the cable TV rights?
Well, sir, you have to understand I work for NBA TV, so I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Sure,
there,
but... and I work for NBC Sports Washington, so I get it. Right? I'm just talking broad.
I would say. That the next 6 months could theoretically change the landscape of how we view sports. Right? You kind of seen Amazon already start. I've just heard so many things that I just can't say publicly, right?
Sure.
But I just think the way that the things that we're accustomed to, it's kind of like when Netflix came out and we're like, wait, I like Redbox. I like Blockbuster. Well, things are changing. So how... Right. Where are we going to be with it, and how do you stay part of it? And for you and I mean, that's part of our job. It's going to be like, okay, when this landscape changes, how are we still employed and relevant? Because it's here.
Right.
And it's now. It's just, so is it going to be a split, right? Like, or because DVDs are essentially obsolete, even though, like, I have them, right? Nobody's selling them anymore.
Right.
But is it going to be one of those things where, like, yeah, cable rights still matter, but it's streamlined. Like, is it NBC Sports? Like, are the local NBC affiliates, ABC affiliates, CBS affiliates going to take sports back because their shows aren't doing well? Like, these are all things that are part of the equation because, man, CBS Sports Network is doing well. I mean, NBC National Sports is doing well. So is Turner Sports. Like, all of this feels like, wait, for the, you know, the broadcast channels, why aren't we getting a piece of this anymore? This is silly.
Fascinating stuff. You and I might have to text on that. Do you know what happened on this date? I'm bad at math. 23, 50 is 73, and 4 is... On this date, 77 years ago.
77? Man, my great-great-grandparents were meeting? I don't know. What's going on?
On this date, 77 years ago, the NBA was founded.
Oh, 1946?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
How about that?
Yeah, wow. You went there. That's a good one, man. I might have to use that.
Miles, appreciate you, man. We're going to be down in Atlanta with football in, I think, October. Maybe we get some golf in.
Oh, absolutely, my friend. And I guess I got to get tickets for that game then.
I can't help you there. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. Later.
That is Chris Miles. Give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Miles TV. Important sale news when we return, as well as major show announcement. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.